Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another In Trance with Bambi episode here on the Bambi Nicole Blog Talk Radio. Of course, as you know, I love you all. I'm so glad that you're listening, tuning in, subscribing, and all the feedback that I'm getting from you all. And I absolutely want to start bringing some of you onto the show because I feel like my audience definitely has a lot to contribute. So if you would like to be on the show here with Bambi Nicole, all you need to do is message or inbox me. Or as the show starts to grow, I'm actually going to give you all the number to just call in. So I'll just take some of you all live on air. And because I believe that this is a show for everybody, and I really want to hear like a lot of feedback. Today, I'm actually have a very special guest, and this is a girl that I've brought onto the show before, Miss Destiny Burns. Now, she was a part of the Star Search, but she has absolutely become a Bambi bestie. So we're going to talk to her a little bit today because I want to get some input and some different views on some of the different things that are going on in the community. And the one thing that I was just kind of adamant about talking to her about is the common misconceptions I think that people tend to have about the transgender community in general. I definitely wanted to kind of get some input on this. We're going to definitely have some kind of fun girl talk here for you all, and we're going to discuss, you know, many different things. But I also wanted to really get into some of the common misconceptions because I really believe to educate a lot of people, we've got to kind of get rid of some of this poison and some of the misconceptions that are going on into the community. One of the biggest misconceptions that I believe that really kind of drives me crazy is the whole she-male term. Like, it just disgusts me. I'm not a girl about labels and about terms, but I find it a very derogatory remark when somebody actually calls a transgender woman a she-male because of something that they have seen in a porn video or something that they have. It's just straight up derogatory. Now, some people don't mind that. And of course, again, viewers and callers and subscribers, I don't judge anybody, but I have a very big problem when I go out in this world. And just because I happen to have had a transition, that because I'm a transgender woman, people label me as a she-male. Like, that to me is like calling somebody who's black the end term. Really, it is that derogatory. It is that offensive because of something that you've seen in pornography. Another problem that I really have with one of the misconceptions is that why does it seem that we tend to base our views on pornography and video and things like that? Let's invite Miss Dusty. Miss Dusty, are you here with us, doll?
Hi, Bambi. I'm here.
Hey, doll. And you know, and I was just going over with our listeners because, and everybody, please welcome back. This is a Bambi bestie, Dusty Burns, because we are going to have her on the show several, many, many, many times because I think that she's just wonderful and I think that she gets a lot of really awesome input and she's a best friend of mine. So, Dusty, we were just kind of discussing some of the misconceptions, I believe, that people have about our community, the transgender community. And before you came on air, I was talking to everybody how offensive the term she-male is for transgender women because I tend to find that like a derogatory term. It's almost like calling somebody out of their, like if somebody just happens to so happen to be black that they call them the N-word. It's the same thing that you would call a trans woman a she-male because a big misconception that we have is unfortunately, there's not a lot of things in the media about transgender women, so people are tending to get it from pornography. Do you agree?
I do. I was just going to mention about calling people the N-word. And you know
right.
How black people have kind of taken that word back to, you know, take it away from being something derogatory, but I don't even
yes,
know.
Yes, and that's
we
why I have so much respect.
That. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just don't think that we could even take she-male back and make it, you know, spin it. It's in my mind, it's so derogatory, and I hate the word she-male. I just don't even
think
we could flip it and make it.
Girl, I don't either. And the thing is the thing that bothers me, and tell me if you think that I'm wrong, but, you know, because, I mean, girl, you're my bestie, and if anybody's supposed to correct me, it's my bestie. But do you think that a lot of the misconception is because some of the people, and I'm, the irony of it is I never tend to hear females say the word she-male. It always tends to be males. Am I correct? It tends to be males that say it, and it tends to be males that watch the pornography with transgender women because they don't understand that the transgender women that are actually in the porno are not even enjoying the pornography. They're in it because they're trying to make a living a lot of times because a lot of jobs won't even hire us because we're transgender. Do you agree?
I do agree. And I think the misconception with the porno is, are they even really transgender or are they just like men with boobs? Because I mean, you know what happens on hormones and stuff, which I know a lot of women do that too. So it's just a big gray area, I feel like.
Yes. Yes. And I said before, I said some people don't mind being, you know, referred to as that term. And it's not that I necessarily take labels really, really personally, as you know. But I find it extremely offensive that because somebody has watched a porn video, they automatically assume that all transgender women are like what they've seen in the video, and they're very disrespectful. I mean, have you not come across some very disrespectful people?
Oof, I have, and it's so disgusting. Like, the things that they will say to you will make you feel like the lowest form of trash, and you've got to kind of stand up for yourself and be like, you know what, I'm a human being. I'm not going to be your sex slave. Like, we're not sex workers. Hello.
That's right.
Leave us alone.
That's right. That's right. I couldn't. And personally, girl, I couldn't tell you the number of times that I've had somebody see. I mean, it's not even, you know, again, in all the respect in the world, because I love all my callers. I love all my viewers. I love all my subscribers. But really, you are one person saying something to me, and I have thousands and thousands of people that follow my information. So I'm not trying to be rude, but especially when you're just that one person that comes off with something extremely derogatory, like, I want them to know they don't even exist to me. But I also want them to know, just because they don't exist to me doesn't mean that I believe that they have the right to go out here and disrespect my sisters. I think that I take more offense when they disrespect my sisters. Because the simple fact, not everybody out here can become popular, and not everybody out here can have such a big following. And I count my blessings every single day. But a lot of my sisters out here are not going to look at that one person as just that one person because they have thousands of people following them. Some of my sisters are going to take it extremely, extremely personal, and it may even ruin their day. Do you agree?
Yes, I do. I just don't even think people understand, like, I think because of the porn, which I think porn is, obviously, it's all fake. And so they get this misconception of us that we just want to have sex and use
That's
us.
Right.
And it's just ridiculous. Like, it's not real.
Absolutely.
But we are.
And like I was telling you, and I was telling them, and you know, I love you to pieces, but when we see our sisters doing pornography, what a lot of the audience doesn't understand is that a lot of our sisters are doing pornography just because that's their only means to survive. They're not doing that for enjoyment. They're doing that to survive. Dusty, did you know? Did you know that in studies shown 90% of our community is transbian or lesbian?
Right.
So that leaves 10% of us to like men. And then the 10% of us that like men have to deal with all this garbage, and excuse all the respect in the world, but all this garbage from these male chauvinistic pigs that watches pornography and treat us like garbage. And then it kind of makes us not even want to deal with men. Am I telling the truth? I mean, I have found as I've transitioned that the desire for sex is gone. So I am sexy and I am sensual. But I no longer have that male sex drive. I no longer have that need for that. And because of that, it really just kind of disgusts and discourages me. Now, the irony, girl, is that, and I said this on my last YouTube video, that there are far more women than there are men in the world. However, there are far more men than there are gems like us. Am I? Can I get an amen?
Amen. A woman.
You know, I don't know. You know, just again, big common misconceptions. Just like another common misconception in our community, that people think that results are handed to them overnight, like they don't have to put work into it. And it bothers me because, and I have, of course, as you all know, with Bambi's bestie, I have absolutely vented to my bestie right here about the fact that you have to work extremely hard at your transition. Like, you're not going to wake up just one day if you don't focus on your details and be an absolutely beautiful woman. Like, you have to work at it. And it, beautiful details make a beautiful picture. Am I telling the truth?
You are, and it's a lot of work. As I'm nowhere near where you are in my transition, but I have heard the work you have to put in, and I know
right.
It's exhausting. But as trans women, we have to focus on every single detail because we don't want to be called out on it either.
Right.
That's
correct.
Devastating.
Correct. Well, it is frustrating, and it's. I think this is what I tell all new girls. Don't get frustrated in your transition because it takes such a long time. It takes a long time because it's an evolution. If you think about it, it's really an evolution because you have to re-go through puberty. But you have to. It's not only just focusing on your details. If you want to be beautiful, you have to be about beauty. You have to radiate beauty on the inside. You have to talk beautiful words. You have to be of a beautiful walk. You have to be of a beautiful presence. You have to, it's the small things because, and do you know, at the end of our transition, I believe that we tend to appreciate a lot more being who we are because we have had to work our whole entire life to get there. And everybody, by the way, talks about having to work our whole entire life to get there. Bambi's bestie is absolutely like a hairstylist. So, girl, tell them a little bit of the weed talk, girl, because I know that you like to style hair. I mean, we can sit there and talk about styling hair for hours.
I have been a stylist for about, 10 years now. I really was hanging out with all the black girls. Of course. And
oh, me too.
Like,
oh, me too. I love my sisters. I love my sisters. And you know what's funny is that we don't even see them as black girls. We just see them as girls who just happen to be black.
Yeah.
That's the irony.
They're like my favorite girls because they're so sassy. And they're like,
right.
When I saw the weave going in people's hair, I was like, what is this black magic? I want it.
That's right.
So that's kind of where I focus on. I was like, yes, that's what I want to do. I want to do weave. So that's like, of course, as a trans woman, all trans women want like beautiful, long, luscious hair and
full
so
hair.
I was like, oh,
yes.
Yeah. I want to do
it. It's kind of like, yeah. Now, do you do the sew-in? Do you do the glue-in? Like how, and explain to me a little bit how that works because, of course, as we all know, I have a big collection like Barbie, like a grown Barbie. But I've actually, what's really ironic, I've actually never worn weave. So explain to me a little bit like how that works because I've actually never worn weave, but I've always admired like some of the artists out there because we all know that all celebrities use weave. But explain to me how some of the process of that is.
Most like white girls will just glue in tracks in their hair, like in the back and the sides to make it fuller, which I used to do all through high school, like a hot mess. I had weave every day. And then there's like quick weaves where you wear like a stocking cap on your head and then you glue tracks all the way around your head and you can style it any way you want. And then you can do the sew-in where like you braid your hair down and then you sew the tracks into the braids, which I actually just did on my mom for my younger brother's wedding. And I was like, because my mom and dad just separated. So I was like, no, you got to be drop dead gorgeous. I want 3 packs of hair on your head. Sky high heels.
Perfection.
Like, turn this out and everyone's going to look at you, which probably wasn't
That's
so
right.
good for my sister-in-law. But I was like, mom, you're going to be hot at this wedding because she had to see my dad. So I think, you know, sometimes hair will boost your confidence and just make you feel like an person. I mean, you know, you change up wigs. I love wigs. I have fun.
Oh, all the time, girl, because as we, you know, anybody that knows the real me, and of course you know the real me outside of the media, knows that I'm really, truly a brunette, but I always see all the time that, you know, brunettes make the most beautiful blondes. Look at Marilyn Monroe. I mean, she was kind of somebody that I looked up to as an actress.
Right. Yeah, well, you've seen my pictures. I love blonde. I just
It stands out, and I think being a chameleon is extremely important. I think, you know, and some, of course, not everybody, of course, loves Bambi, and that's okay. They don't all have to, because we live in a world full of millions and billions of opinions. But I tend to find that the girls that do, it's kind of like, I always tell them to stay. You want to stay fresh. You want to stay fresh. You want to change up your look. You want to sometimes, you know, now don't get me wrong, bestie, because I definitely have a tomboyish side to me, and there are days where I just don't want to do anything. But then there are other days where it's just like I just get kind of bored with the same old look and the same old thing. So it's like I just got to change it up, you know, and it does, and it absolutely stems from the irony that you speak about changing up hair for confidence is that I get a ton of new girls that come to me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they flock and they flock and they flock. But the one thing that they always say is, Bambi, how can I be more passable? And what they don't understand is the eyebrow structure in the forehead on women is completely different than on men. So even if you look in magazines, a lot of times the hair that we wear, like the extensions or a wig or whatnot, actually comes like right above our eyebrows, if it's not like to our eyebrows. So I tell a lot of girls, like, the one trick, if you really want to pass, is to make sure that your hairline, that if your hair is receding, that you put on a wig or extensions or weave or whatever, and it comes down to like at least your brow area.
Right. And they have so many options for that too. I mean, they've got every type of wig or a piece, mm-hmm. a fall, anything. You can just clip in there and go. Like, they have the clip-in bangs now. Like, you're
That's
definitely,
right.
You can find whatever you need out there. And I love going to, like, the beauty supply for, like, we have one here called Ebony. It's for black girls. But I just walk in there like I am one, and I'm like, yep, I want that, I want that, I want that. Like, they don't give me any, you know, crap because I'm not part of their race, you know?
That's but, right.
Yeah, I love it. That's like, I feel like that's
oh,
my
I love
mom.
My
I belong.
And I know in the Atlanta area, there is a beauty supply store in every corner, and I absolutely love them. And actually, I think it's a lot of, it's a lot of Vietnamese, it's a lot of Cambodians, it's a lot of Koreans that run the beauty supply store. And when you go in there, you know, again, I think that the transgender culture is so much more accepted, I guess, in the Asian culture, because it's like they don't even bat an eye at you. Like, you can go in there and you don't have to be passable, and you can buy a wig or you can buy hair extension, you can buy makeup, and really they don't say anything to you. It's not, because I know, as you know, in the beginning there's a lot of fear with people that go shopping. It's like, oh my God, you know, I have to buy this hair, but what are they going to think about me? But a lot of times in the beauty supply stores, they're very embracing towards us.
I was terrified the first time I went to a wig store and like checked out the weave. I like didn't want to touch anything. I was afraid they were judging me, but I mean,
right.
The more you do it, you get over it. You make friends with the people that are there, and they're usually very helpful. They'll help you find anything
Absolutely.
You need.
You know, it's ironic. Is this is shopping embarrassment? I think where I used to really get embarrassed, of course, was when, because I know that new girls are terrified to go buy clothes and whatnot, but when I think the most, you know, and I know this is a little bit off topic, but it's not how we're having girl talk, and like girl talk, you know, how we talk about 100 million things in 30 minutes. But when I had to go and buy lingerie for the first time, when I had to go buy my first bra and things, because I started to develop and I started to bud and I started to be to the point where, you know, I couldn't go without wearing a bra anymore. And for several years in the beginning of my transition, and I'll say this until I'm blue in the face, I lived androgynous for many years. Like, I lived androgynous for maybe my first 5 years of transition. And then it got to the point where you couldn't live androgynous anymore because you evolved so much into a woman that, you know. but my results were impossible to hide. But the thing that embarrassed me, I don't think, was the fact that, like, the other women were staring. I used to get kind of, like, weirded out when I would be in the bra section and I would find somebody's husband, like, staring, like, seeing, like, what size bra was I buying or whatnot. That was kind of a little weird experience for me. And have you experienced anything from the same from you going shopping for clothes?
I have. It still scares me to death. What I do, like, my mom is my best friend, for one, and then I have another best friend. And if I'm feeling very nervous, I will take them with me and act like it's for them. You can definitely get away with that and just, like, give them the money, have them pay if you're freaking out about it. But it definitely, because I still have, like, the facial hair, because I'm not even starting yet. I'm like, well, you know, what's the point? But so, yeah, definitely, if it's scary, take a friend. Like, when I was doing drag,
you know what's ironic is that you talk about the facial hair and whatnot, and, of course, I have had, like, I don't even know how many hours of electrolysis done, but my roommate happens to use the what's called the iLight Pro, the Remington iLight Pro, and actually uses it on her face and actually has gotten rid of a lot of facial hair using that a couple of times. But you have to be extremely careful when using it on your face because it's really meant for the body.
Mm-hmm.
And what they actually tell most trans women to do is they tell trans women to shave first, then to use the Remington iLight Pro on your face. And it, what it is that you use it every 10 days. If you're going to set it, I would set it at like a 3 or 4 because you don't want third-degree burns. So shave, use that, see what permanently disappears, and then what keeps growing back, get an electrolysis machine. And I've actually done a YouTube video on that, and it's called Bam Bam Swear Bys, I believe, on my YouTube channel. By the way, everybody check it out, www.youtube.com/Bambi Show. And you get a $40 electrolysis machine, and it's from, I think it's from Deluxe Electrolysis or whatnot. I might even leave the link below. And then you just do the electrolysis on your hair as they keep coming back. Now, the trick with the electrolysis machine is your fingers must be moist. So you have, it's almost like a pen, like the needle comes, it's almost a pen. And you have to make sure that your fingers are moist. So keep a sidecar of like water near you and make sure that your fingers are moist on the metal pad. And that's where the electricity is going to shock the hair follicle. And really, you'll get rid of your hair faster than what you think that you will by doing something as simple as that. So, again, no matter how much facial hair that you have, you know, of course, I've gotten rid of, like, probably 90% of mine. Just know that it's something that you can really take care of yourself, and you don't necessarily have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars out there. It is actually, like, an affordable way to do it. It's just, it takes a lot of research. I think what's made me successful in a lot of the transition has been a research. As you know, you have to research. And girl, you being a writer, you already know that. So it's a lot of research, and it's a lot of trial and error. You know, what do you think about? I did a show last week called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Have you known any girls out there? Because I actually had an eyelash extension nightmare because when I first got them done, they were absolutely beautiful and gorgeous. But I noticed that I went to my nail technician to do them, who did them for like $20 as opposed to $200, and it ripped a lot of my eyelashes out. Like, my eyelashes before I had any lash extensions used to be so incredibly beautiful that I'd wear one coat of mascara and it looked like I was wearing false lashes. Now, it's not that they ripped so many of them out that I don't have any, but I would say that it ripped a lot of them out, and it was just kind of a horror story for me. So tell me, what do you think about girls that want to seek and get eyelash extensions yourself?
I have done the individual eyelash extensions, and I found, depending on the person and the oiliness of their skin, you know, they don't last as long as they should. Of course, nothing is really permanent, of course, but I know doing, like, strip eyelashes, I would, like, cut them in thirds. And if you place them just right, you know, you can make them look super real. And I always go for, like, the wispy lashes.
Right.
I've even super glued lashes to my eyes before, which was not a good idea.
Girl,
that's all I had at one time. Yeah. I've done some stupid things. But yeah,
but that's
I do
trial
know
and error.
if you it is. It's always trial and error. I've also learned if you apply like petroleum jelly to your lashes at night before you go to sleep. I've even heard castor oil, it will like regrow your lashes and make it super long. Yeah. So
and you know what's
always
funny is that not only will it regrow your lashes, girl, I've also heard that castor oil can actually regrow hair. Like for girls that are in transition and they have a receding hairline, if they actually do oil treatments with castor oil on their hair, it can actually help grow back the hair on their scalp as well.
Right. I've been fighting that one for a year. That's why I love
now,
my wig.
Now, oh, but you're going to have to try that. You're going to have to try that. So before, what I want you to do is we're going to do a show on this. We're going to actually do a show on some trial and errors, on things that we have done ourselves and that we found to work and that we found to not work. And we will bring this about on air very soon for our listeners. But I want you to actually try the castor oil treatments, and I want you to do it twice a week before you shower. And what you're going to do is you're going to take castor oil, you're going to massage it into your scalp, and you're going to leave it there from anywhere between 30 minutes and 2 hours before you shower, and then you're going to shampoo and rinse. And tell me and tell everybody if you don't see results, and maybe we'll bring that show in a month or so, because I want you to actually have enough time to start seeing some results, and we'll come back on air and we'll tell everybody about the trial and error with that, because I've actually heard that that has worked some awesome, awesome wonders. Now, I know that we're getting down to our last 3 minutes of the show. I want you tell anybody else of a funky beauty tip or a funky beauty secret, because, of course, you are a beauty queen, of what you have found that's really ironic but actually works, like one of those maybe wives' tales, but that you've tried and that's worked.
This is going to sound weird. I know a lot of drag queens do it. Milk of magnesia underneath your makeup. Just do like a thin coat, and it will matte your makeup, and no shininess will get through. Like if you're a very oily
wow.
skin person, it'll just dry it up, and it like tightens your face too. And
wow.
I always do that, especially if I'm going to sweat, because it will not let any sweat come through your makeup. I love it. Like I keep a bottle on hand all the time.
So you know that now, not only, so now we have two shows that we've got to do. We've got one of the trial and errors where we're going to talk about things that we've done that have like, where we're going to kind of debunk and we're going to kind of contribute to some of the wives' tales that we've researched and that we have found to be true and not true. And then not only that, we have another show that we're going to talk about beauty secrets that people don't know, because you seem to be absolutely full of them, girl, because you seem to know a lot of the stuff, just like milk of magnesia. Like, who would have known that? I didn't even know that, of course. And, you know, I'm, like, extremely researched. So we're going to have you back on the show to talk about beauty secrets that maybe people didn't know that existed that work. And we're also going to talk about the trial and error. Girl, as we get down to this last minute, 30 seconds of the show, I mean, it's like every week, it's just, we could just sit here and talk forever, and just seems like the time just flies by. I hope that we educated a lot of our audience and some of the common misconceptions. We have talked about going shopping. We have talked about beauty secrets. We have talked about hair removal. I don't believe that there's a lot of the things that we didn't cover in the show. So everybody, please welcome back Dusty Burns. She's a Bambi bestie. Get used to her. She will be here on the show a lot. Dusty, is there anything else that you'd like to say to the audience in the last minute of the show?
I would say, just going back to everything we've talked about, don't be afraid. Don't let fear hold you back. Get out there. Get a friend with you. You know, you can do it. It doesn't have to be so scary, for sure.
Oh, I think that the fear is always, but again, let me reiterate as we get down to like the last 30 seconds, really in transition, you have to not be afraid of what other people are going to say, because you have millions of opinions out there and people are going to not agree with whatever that you've done. But I think that it stands for everybody in life, meaning that no matter what you decide to do, if you want to be a teacher, if you want to be this, or if you want to be that, you're going to have people that aren't going to agree with you. So inside yourself, you kind of have to find that internal strength and just realize that no matter what, you're going to be the best that you're going to be. Bambi's bestie, Dusty Burns, thank you so much for being part of this taping, and we will get back to our audience sometime soon. Love you all. Bye.